Well, we're having a good discussion going forward about diversity. And what that happens when you begin to talk about that, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. But before I forget someone, Fred is here too, visiting. So, I had forgotten the man was there. But anyway, moving on, the Holy Spirit is at work. We have to share these things. The idea that the Spirit leads us to share with one another, touch each other's lives, it's the work of the Spirit. And we can be dismissive of that work of the Spirit. And get so used to being dismissive to the point where we don't see how, as the clip said it, it's a way to touch people, to bring about Jesus Christ. It's a way to bring about change in our lives. And when you think about it, what we're talking about within the congregation right now, there's a lot of the Spirit moving, helping us to overcome our dismissive nature. Around this conversation of race, we can be very dismissive and entrenched in our beliefs about what we know to be true, not based on God, of what we know of ourselves. It may be real, but there is a God that calls us to listen to that Spirit to move us forward, to move us forward and listen to His Spirit. Dismissive attitudes get in the way of growth. Church, what we are attempting to do is to grow. What we desire to do is to grow. Our intention is to grow. It's not have a good talk shop and stay the same attitudes online, on private. No, we want to grow. We want to be different. Amen? If that is the case, then we must challenge our dismissive attitudes. They need to be looked at from a biblical point of view. Hold on. Being dismissive is a sign of disrespect. If you're dismissive, you show little consideration for others. If a teacher laughs at a student's honest answer to a question, that is dismissive. You can also be dismissive to ideas and suggestions. It's like waving someone or something away, saying, whatever. We can have our whatever mindset of here we go again. I've heard it before. Yeah, we say this all the time. Who is speaking? If it's a black guy speaking, they're going to end up like this. A white guy speaking, they're going to end up like this. We can get caught up in a very dismissive mindset and not open our hearts to what the Spirit calls us to grow into. Now, you have to be very conscious of what's going on in your heart, because some of the things that shape your view and convictions are not necessarily things you imagine. You've seen them. But God calls you to a view of how He sees you and I. Now that is the growth. In other words, we must shuck our old ways of thinking, feelings, and bring a new sense of, I feel like God can overcome anything we're facing right now. But we cannot do that if you're stuck in anger, stuck in mistrust, stuck in labels, stuck in, that's just the way the world is, because we are called to be people that reconcile people to Christ, heal people, and bring them to Jesus Christ. Where we start is with ourselves. It's not with other people. You got to start with healing you. Then you can extend and help someone else. So when they speak, you know, disrespectful, you don't shun them away. You pay attention and you hear them out. However outlandish their thinking might be, you still listen with respect. It may be outlandish to you, but listen with respect. That means we don't interrupt. That means we don't have a defensive attitude. That means that we own our pain and not transfer to people. Preconceptions kill our faith. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, explained Nathanael. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. You see, Philip was reaching out to Nathanael, but Nathanael had a predisposition that said, nothing good can come back from that place called Nazareth. Let's get this right. Preconceptions are based on experience, not the truth of God. You can have a lot of preconceptions. It doesn't mean that that is the truth of God. How do you see the world? Like Philip or like Nathanael? How do you see the world? Philip says, we found the guy that Moses spoke about. Come. Well, where is he from? Nazareth? I don't think so. What is your story about the world? That is where God is calling you to start changing. When I say how do you see the world, I'm talking about this. Just things that can get in the way. In Mauritania, they work so hard to try to get their kids to have more weight on their body because that's how you look beautiful in that country. What is your opinion? It's not the truth. It's a cultural sentiment. It's not the truth. It's a cultural sentiment. But we take that and says, yeah, that must be this, this, this. I say, no, that is a cultural sentiment. That's not the truth. And we get all whopped up and upset. God says, you are my child. You're created in my image. That is where it ends. Beyond that, opinions start coming up. This is what I think. This is what I see. What do you think of that? What about gender? God creates male and female. Everything else from there is cultural issues. And I'm very sensitive. I know people can say I'm transgender. I say, well, we can go back and forth in that, but God's truth is I create male and female. That's what he says. And I can't get around that because I'm just a messenger. I cannot say, well, I don't think he knows what he's talking about. Let me turn around that story. It is what it is. Anything else is choices we are making and going about it differently. But we got to be sensitive and respectful even with those kinds of people. Does that make sense? What about age? Yeah, we don't like to talk, we don't like to associate anything with old. I don't know what it is. You say, I think you're old. Hey, stop saying I'm old. What are you talking about? But there's another reality. We all must age at some point. Yeah, this morning I went for a walk, came back, I tried to put on socks and my back was up. I had to step on the bed. I said, man, there was a time I would just do that like this, like that, and I'm walking. Nothing happened. There's nothing wrong. We buy in the idea that fast is good, nice body, and all that is awesome. But that is an illusion. We're all coming this way. Treat older men properly and older women properly. We all come in that direction. Skin tone. Oh, my goodness. We're in this conversation of diversity and all that stuff. Man, skin tone can get crazy. It's summertime. Some people want to get a little bit more darker. Some people, I don't know what they want. Again, it's all social stereotyping. Stuff we grew up thinking that because someone, you know, it's funny. Some people think, well, all I know is that we all have melanin to different degrees. And that is God-given. Beyond that, it's opinions you're making up. You have opinions about lighter, darker, and all that. And we attack each other in very subtle ways. In very subtle ways. Why? Because can anything good come from Nazareth? That's our problem. We can go on and on. I could go on and on. All these things, sexuality, nationality, race, disability, all that stuff, if you think about it deeply, you have some dismissiveness that comes with this thinking that is not based in the Word of God. It's just based on, well, this must be true. It's not true. Have you checked what God says about this stuff? You just assume a black person is this, a white person is this. That's not necessarily true. Check what the Bible says. Then you begin growing. And then you begin to embrace everything we talked about this morning, about how the Galatians walked out with the Jews and the Gentiles. Then you begin to see that there's value in working together. Integrity is not equal to faith. Let's get this right here. As they approached, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael explained, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." He began to make some changes. The profound statement that Jesus says is that here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. And yet, he did not accept Jesus from the word go. That you can be whole in terms of principle and other things, but not accept God. You can be very principled and very, and that is the nature of this conversation we have. We can have be very principled in how we see something. This is the way it is, and that's the way it must be. And then principled, and that's the way it is, and how it must be. Those are principles of what we've experienced. And they set us back in foundations that are hard to yank us out if we don't think about just as, you know, here's a genuine guy, but doesn't mean that he's faithful or spiritual at all in the way he's going about stuff. As a culture, we pride ourselves in doing things properly. That does not mean it is spiritual and faithful. I have seen people driving properly, but they're very upset by those who are not driving properly. They are like, "What? What's wrong with you?" It's happened to me many times. The other day I was going, this lady was so upset with me. I'm like, "What? What's going on?" I think I was going under speed. And she was saying things. I'm like, "Okay, God, it's time to calm down." And all I thought of myself was, I guess I should be going maximum, not lower. Now, it's neither here nor there, but she's very proper. I guess it's how you see it. But when it comes to God, it's not just being proper, is it godly? When you think about all the things we talked about this morning, about the fruits of the Spirit and all that, there's no formula to that. That is a walk with God that you must tie into. You cannot do that mentally. You have to know and feel God. As we worship the songs that says experience God, let the Word of God, the Spirit of God come to us now. That is not stuff you do because you know it's proper. It's because you're convinced that God is right and not you. And Jesus could relate with this guy. Many of us have polished resumes. When I say resumes of life, we've done things well. But we miss God in the process. It's possible to do things very well and miss things. It's possible to be in a good family and miss relationships. It's possible to come to church and go to family group and have one another relationships and miss God altogether. It's possible to have all kind of friends and still miss the most important thing, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It is possible to be convoluted by the theories and all the thoughts that come around us because we do not take time to interrogate those issues around the Bible and do an in-depth Bible study for ourselves. As Blake encourages us to go read for ourselves at home. It's important to think about that and see what's going on. That's when you deal with dismissiveness. I think that most people are stuck in heart in pain, because that pain told them you can no longer overcome. So they're dismissive of anything else that says you can overcome. You know, a friend of mine tagged me the other day on Facebook and said, what did he say? A cynic is a wounded idealist. I said, what? A cynic is a wounded idealist? That the guys that don't believe anything can change, those were the guys that once believed, but because it didn't come in their time, they got so upset, now they don't believe anything can work. Now they hold everyone back. Can we go here? No, they always complain about something. Pain is an amazing, amazing tool to hold you back. We talk diversity. We're trying to overcome different pains and different fears and guilt and shame. And yet God promises that in His Word, that if you embrace me, come to me. My yoke is light. I can walk with you. I can help this. I can heal nations. I can bring black and white together and all nations together, Hispanics, everyone, internationals. We can walk together. But that doesn't work if you're not connected to God. And Nathaniel was doing everything right. I want to encourage you that you may be doing a lot of good, right stuff, but you've got to go beyond the resume of polishing it up. Because that is the illusion of polishing our resume in life. We start worshiping that what we created. We are created to worship the Almighty God that is infinite. We are finite people. We have to go to the one that has everything, the Alpha and Omega. Have faith. I think I missed something here. Having faith is God. I think we have the wrong one, but we'll run with it. Sorry, we had two going up there. Having faith is in God is not in results. Something was missed here. Having faith in God, not in results. So, excuse me. Jesus said, "You believe because I told you. I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascend and descend on the Son of God." So the only reason Nathanael believed that was because Jesus told him, "You know what? I saw you under that tree." Now he begins to believe. The problem with that is that we exchange our place of faith with results. Let me ask another question today. Is it possible that you're stuck in your growth because you're just looking for results? We're talking about a diverse congregation. What that means is that someone has to start going in faith first. In faith first. Not the results. Many of us are held because I have to see the results before I go. Then you never go. You have to go in faith first. Amen. Ask all those people that just got married. They went in faith first. That's true. You went in faith first. You loved art. Anyway, so let's see what happened. Let's go. Let's make it happen. And Julie took him anyway. And the other way around. And why? Because he can look at the parties and say, well, they've been around a long time and they've been married 30 whatever years. It says, but they all started in faith. No one knew we'll be together for all this time. You've got to have faith. Nathaniel went the other way around. Wanted to see the results. I said, then I believe you are. Some of us are studying the Bible, and the reason we're not moving is because we don't know how that'll work. You've got to come to God in faith first. Just come to God in faith. It's one day at a time, and God will fix the rest. If you graduate from college, go in faith. A job is coming, but you got to hit the roads out there and God will show you how to get those jobs. And eventually, some money will come your way, amen? Some money will come, but you've got to get out there and go in faith. If you have children, go in faith. Raise them. Tell them all you can tell them. But don't be dismissive with them. Listen to them. Help them as they turn around. These teenagers, these young people know a lot of information compared to how we grew up. Now, they might not have the maturity you have, but listen to them anyway. Go in faith. It does not work like that. You can't do it without faith. Biases stop us from experiencing God. Let's talk about that. Then Nicodemus, the leader who had met with Jesus earlier, spoke up. Is it legal to convict a man before he is given a hearing? He asked. They replied, are you from Galilee too? Search the scriptures and see for yourself. No prophet ever comes from Galilee. Is that true? Actually, Jonah came from there. Jonah came from Galilee. You can do some research around it. So he wasn't right. But biases stop us from experiencing God. Let me ask this question. What are your biases? I'm not talking about your bias in the closet. You like this dress over that dress, or this shoe over that shoe, and this style over that. Everybody has that. I'm talking about deep stuff, life issues. What are your biases? They're there. How do you see things? What gets in your way? There are a lot of biases. I mean, I'm amazed at how I see a policeman's car on traffic and how everybody else drives differently. Then sometimes a policeman is just doing his own thing. I was driving around and we were going together the same direction. I turned, he turned, and I said, okay, let's keep going. Then when I looked, he went over me and he had a dog unit thing. I'm like, he was just going to take his dog somewhere. You know the dog unit police department? He's just doing his thing. But we can, there are realities around that relationship, but there's a bias as well. You understand that? One reality may happen here, but that doesn't mean everybody sits like that. In other words, we may see this here, but that doesn't mean every policeman is going to do that. Those are biases that we develop because of one issue that happened here, or many issues that have happened in a country of 300 million people. There's a lot of that can happen. But when you do the statistics, it drops. Now, respectfully, it's somebody's life. But let's not be biased about everything around that. Respectfully, let's not be biased about everything around that. What biases do you carry? Just one. What biases do you carry about an older white person? What biases do you carry about a young black person? I talk about that to challenge you to get over your biases. Because to experience someone, you have to get over the biases. You have to say, okay, but who is this person? Who is this person? Beyond all the stuff. Just I want to know this person. As a person who just moved in this country, I talk to all kinds of people. I have all kinds of friends. It's amazing how some of those biases would have stopped me. But I said, okay, let me put myself out there. Whenever my car has real trouble, there's some old guys I go to on 78, and they're quite interesting. I don't really get everything they say, but we have a good rapport going there. They really speak Southern. I mean, I need to pay attention. If I want a Southern-speaking guy, I go over there. So let's go hear what's going to happen. It's a great, you know, we go back and forth. They're looking at me like, they say things about twice before I get it. But it's a good just to get to know them. So, wow, that's awesome. I go to other places where I fit right in. I'm walking like until I open my mouth. Where are you from? I say, well, I'm from Georgia. No, where are you from? Then the question comes. But those questions are coming because of their personal biases. They have to, why are they asking those questions? They're trying to place me. The bias tries to put you in a hole somewhere, in a box. Let's see if we can do the box. Let's check. Biases do that to us. We begin looking for boxes. So where are you from? What was your background? We're looking for boxes. Where do you go to school? What college is that? We're trying to tick boxes. These are our biases. Oh, Georgia Tech. Wow. Wait, what about this Not sure. It's bias. Socialized bias. We practice without knowing. We can even take it to cars and take it on to other things. We can even take it on to children, take it on to other things. Let me end here. We all should know that diversity makes for a rich tapestry. And we must understand that all the threads of tapestry are equal in value, no matter what their color. And you know what she was, Maya Angelou, poet, memory, and all that stuff. Here's the point. I want to end here. If we are going to build a diverse congregation, we've got to get over judging each other. And start embracing one another to experience God. If you judge people based on color, nationality, background, and all those things, silly stuff that travels by, it's really a biased way of living. And it, for me, my wife and I, we've had the grace of God to live in different countries. It's amazing how it's so similar, but sophisticated differently. And we look at that, we're like, wow, what? When we say, okay, embrace it, experience it from the point you are. You can't come in and get stuck in your world. You can't come in and get stuck in where you come from. You come in and say, what is God trying to do? Why? Acts 17:24, he determines where you will live so that you may find him. So I have a question for you. Have you been finding God even though you were born in Georgia? Because God allowed you to be born here for a reason, or for some reason you live here. Whatever neighborhood you came from this morning, are you there to find God as you're doing it? We need to understand that. Understand that well. There's a growth required. You cannot leave this place and go back to your old biases and anger and resentment. You got to come across with love, compassion, and respect. God bless you.